Would you please remain standing? Olga is going to be reading from the Word of God today, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12.
Honor your God is giving you.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Well, I had the privilege, Vicki and I, a few days ago, to go up to Iowa Park, Texas, and visit with our dear friends Jack and Ann. Ann's getting around better, but still very limited. But Jack and I spent 2.5 days playing guitars and having a great time. And one of the songs that, it's an old song, but we worked on it, and then I brought it home and shared it with Alan, and he got his part down. And so we wanted to share with you an old one called Where the Soul of Man Never Dies. Parents shared stories about their children. My 3-year-old was saying goodnight to my husband when she slapped him. He asked her, why did she do that? And she said, Daddy, I was high-fiving your face.
asked her, "Are you a mammal?" She said, "No." So I told her to look at her arm and see if there are any hairs on it. She replied, "Whoa, I'm a mammal. Papa really is a mammal." We went to check on him and discovered that he colored 2/3 of his body with a green Sharpie. When we asked him why he did that, he said, "I just wanted to be the Grinch." When the baby was brand new and we were frazzled first-time parents, we left his stroller in the parking lot of a local shopping plaza. In the hustle and bustle of trying to get him fed, changed, and strapped into the car seat, we completely forgot his stroller. Later, we realized our mistake and returned to the scene of the crime. The stroller was gone. We assumed that it was be stolen, but it turned out someone reported our stroller as an abandoned baby because there were some blankets scrunched up in it, and I suppose it looked like a baby was in it. The fire department, multiple police crews, the news, and everyone else were there to retrieve the baby. Obviously, there was no baby, but our stroller was taken by the police department and held in the evidence room. It was so embarrassing, I almost didn't even want to retrieve it. Almost. Those strollers cost a fortune. Honoring your father and mother is being respectful in word and action and having an inner attitude of esteem for their position. Our society, our culture, does not talk much anymore about position, authority, respect. We hear far more often that it's about individuality, it's about doing your thing, and challenging authority. I'm not saying that authority is always right. I'm not saying that authority shouldn't be challenged. But if you're skeptical of everything, then you really don't believe in anything. The Greek word for honor means to revere, prize, and value. Honor is giving respect not only for merit, but also for rank. For example, some Americans might disagree with President Obama. They might disagree with President Trump. But we are to honor the position of president. We may disagree with our mayor. We may disagree with our governor. We may disagree with our legislature. We may disagree with the dog catcher. But we're still to honor that person's rank. Similarly, children of all ages should honor their parents, regardless of whether or not their parents deserve honor. Consistently throughout Scripture, the Lord calls on us to honor those in authority, including parents. Paul talks quite a bit about this at the end of Romans. Jesus also calls us to forgive people whether or not they deserve it. And whoever cuts me off in traffic, they don't deserve it, but I should still forgive them. Children and teens need to learn respect from parents, teachers, and other authority figures. It's tragic the conversations I sometimes hear at restaurants and stores between kids and their parents. If that had been me, my grandfather would not have spanked me. He would have found or asked me to find one of the small branches of a tree, and he would have taken care of me. But I know that that's not very popular these days, and I don't know if it even worked with me. No child should ever cuss out their parents or try to hit them. And I heard a parent recently cussing out her child in a store parking lot. That's also unacceptable. It's so sad that as soon as a parent gets out of a store, that parent is saying vulgarities to their child. Billy Graham notes about honoring parents, a child who's allowed to be disrespectful to his parents will not have true respect for anyone. God calls on us to honor our father and mother. He values honoring parents enough to include it in the Ten Commandments and again in the New Testament. This is what Paul wrote. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Honoring parents is the only commandment that promises long life as a reward. Those who honor their parents are blessed, according to Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 18 through 19. In contrast, those with a depraved mind and those who exhibit ungodliness in the last days are characterized by disobedience to parents. That's in Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Honoring parents and other authority figures is unselfish. It causes us to think about other people and their needs. How do you think the wait staff feels when your food is an hour late? It's not even their fault. And think about how many words are said to them in anger. Even when we have major disputes with our family members, we're still to love and respect them. If you can't love a family member as a friend, then remember that Jesus calls on us to love our enemies. Whether we have family, in-laws, or outlaws, we are to honor them. And honoring them, of course, does not mean that we keep letting them take advantage of us. God wants us to honor them, but God does not call on us to be foolish. Ezra Benson writes, "Our parents deserve our honor and respect for giving us life itself. Beyond this, they almost always made countless sacrifices as they cared for and nurtured us through our infancy and childhood, provided us with the necessities of life, and nursed us through physical illnesses and the emotional stresses of growing up." Solomon, the wisest man, urged children to respect their parents. It is wise to respect elders, especially our parents. And it's interesting that the Bible does talk quite a bit about respecting elders. Proverbs 1, 8, and 9. "My child, pay attention to what your father and mother tell you. Their teaching will improve your character, as a handsome turban or necklace improves your appearance." Proverbs 6, 20. "My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." You know, when I think about Leave It to Beaver and Andy Griffith, they're always reinforcing this. Although we may no longer be directly under their authority, we cannot outgrow God's command to honor our parents. Even Jesus, God the Son, submitted himself to both his earthly parents and his heavenly Father. Following Jesus' example, we should treat our parents the way we would reverentially approach our heavenly Father. Philippians 2:8, "He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And isn't it interesting that Jesus tells us to take up our cross and deny ourselves daily, to love others as we love ourselves? Dr. Tony Evans, who's the pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Church near Dallas, examined Jesus' obedience to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. "In taking on the mind of Christ, we're to follow his example of obedience to the will of the Father. The night before Jesus was to be crucified, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, 'Not my will, but yours be done.'" And isn't that a wonderful prayer for our lives? Are we praying with God just what we want? Or are we praying that God will have his way in our lives and that he will shape us to be more like him? Jesus did not want to face death on the cross. He knew it would be excruciatingly painful, and that he would endure the taunts, scorn, and rejection of men. But worst of all, he knew his Father would have to turn his back on him as he bore the sins of humankind. He asked the Father that if there's any other way, he would put it into place. But he asked that ultimately God's will would be done. "May the Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The result of Jesus' obedience was that God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. The command is not just for children and teenagers. When the Ten Commandments were given, they were primarily given to the adult children who were receiving them. They were to be examples in how they treated their parents, and then they were to train their children to be just in the Lord. While later applications by adults have focused this command on pre-adult children, the original context was a covenant with the adult children in the community. We read that in Deuteronomy. One day, a little girl was sitting and watching her mother do dishes at the kitchen sink. She suddenly noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out in contrast to her brunette head. She looked at her mother and inquisitively asked, "Why are some of your hairs white, Mom?" Her mother replied, "Well, every time you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white." The little girl thought about this revelation for a while, and then she said, "Mama, how come all of Grandma's hairs are white?" The commandment mentions both father and mother. It's interesting that other commandments, like the Akkadian Code of Hammurabi, just mention the man. That women are to be prized. Women are to be respected, even if the cultures around them did not do it. And we see from Jesus' life how he respected women far more than society did. The attached promise of long life in the land demonstrates the central value God placed on extended families for the health of the community. Obviously, we're commanded to honor our parents, but how? Mark 7:6, we're to honor them with both actions and attitudes. And everyone who's been around a teenager knows that a teenager could do the right action, but with the worst attitude. And usually roll in the eyes or some other kind of body language. You know, and that we can be the same way. You know, it's not just what we do. It's about the underlying attitude. God looks at the heart. A wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 13:1. One of the key differences between a wise person and a fool is we listen to correction. We listen to critics. We listen to our loved ones. We listen to our spouses. And we can decide, is that a legitimate criticism and something I need to work on? Or should I just let it roll off my back like those ducks that are there at Hancock Park? Our attitude is so important when we receive criticism. They were obeying the letter of the law, but then the Pharisees had added their own traditions that essentially overruled it. The Pharisees came up with ways where children would not have to honor or help their parents anymore. They created loopholes. It's sad when the leaders of the community are creating loopholes so that people no longer have to honor and respect their family. Honor is more than lip service. The word honor in this passage is a verb, and as such demands a right action. Love is also often a verb. We express honor and love through actions. Even if we don't have warm feelings about someone in our family or someone in authority, we can still express love through our actions. We should seek to honor our parents in much the same way that we strive to bring glory to God in our thoughts, words, and actions. For a young child, obeying parents goes hand in hand with honoring them. And it's interesting that the older a son or a daughter gets, the wiser their parents suddenly become. But we're not to imitate ungodly behavior. While we're required to honor parents, that doesn't include imitating any ungodly actions. So many people will use the excuse, "Well, I'm just like my father. I'm just like my mother." That's just how our family handles things. We're not responsible for them, but we're responsible for us. And we can never use the excuse, "Oh, that's just how my family is. I'm just like they are. They didn't teach me right growing up. You know, it's all their fault." And it's interesting that so often People blame everyone but themselves. Ezekiel 20, 18 through 19. I said to their children in the wilderness, do not follow the statutes of your parents or keep their laws or defile yourself with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. If a parent ever instructs a child to do something that clearly contradicts God's commands, that child should obey God. Now that's a rare occurrence, and that's usually with abusive parents. But there are times that a child needs to protect him or herself. Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Honor begets honor. God will not honor those who will not obey his command to honor their parents. If we desire to please God and be blessed, we should honor our parents. And even if our parents have passed away, we can still show honor to our other family members. Even to the ones that bring the fruitcake at Christmas. Or take the best slice of the turkey. Or take all the cranberry sauce. Or whatever it may be, we're to honor them. As Paul notes in Ephesians 6:2, this is the first commandment with a promise. This should not be understood in an individual sense. In other words, dishonoring one's parents does not mean that a child will die before his or her time. Rather, the reference was the length of the stay of Israel in the land as a warning to the Israelites as a whole. God's saying, these commands will protect you. These commands are life-giving. If you do this, you will be blessed. He's warning them. Because if they don't, their sin will find them out. What they reap, they will sow. The Lord is loving. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. And the Lord's trying to tell them, live the right way so that you do not have to deal with the consequences. Parents must deal with a media climate that often features children with dysfunctional or absent parents. Sonia Halton finds this trend in Disney movies and TV shows. By the way, I'm a huge fan of Disney. I went to Disney World when I was in Florida. I watched Disney movies, but she does have something interesting to say about Disney. She writes that I realized something else that binds Disney films other than good old nostalgic charm, an absence of parents. Bambi, abandoned by his father before birth, experiences the hunting and subsequent shooting of his mom. That's not all. In The Lion King, Simba is implicated in the death of his father and runs away in a vain attempt to escape his misery. While Nemo, the rebellious fish, is the sole survivor of a violent barracuda attack on his mother and siblings and spends much of the story estranged from his father. Since its formation in the 1920s, Disney's output has featured a steady supply of dysfunctional and broken families. Dumbo, like Bambi, still devastates audiences as the fatherless baby elephant is separated from his mother after she's locked up for her apparent psychosis. The Moggies and the Aristocrats are also fatherless. Neither Ariel in The Little Mermaid or Belle in Beauty and the Beast have a mother. Even more recently, fans worldwide have delighted in the final installment of Toy Story, as Andy, the film's main character, is raised by a single-parent mother. On Disney's TV channel, the popular Hannah Montana, played by the precocious Miley Cyrus in her more tame days, learns that the teenage ropes from her single-parent father because her mother is AWOL. On the big screen, the game playing chronicles a 10-year-old girl searching for her long-lost father after the untimely, although not entirely unpredictable, demise of her mother. And the Grammy-nominated Enchanted captures Gazelle, an archetypal Disney princess adapting to the harsh environment of New York as a motherless young girl. There's an absence of parental role models in the world of Walt Disney, and there are more. And if you watch children's cartoons, oftentimes the parents are the ones who do not know what they're doing, and the children are the ones who save the world. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong, but I am saying we better teach them about honoring families because our TV and our movies definitely won't. Baby Tarzan was abandoned in the jungle after the savaging of his parents by a leopard. And there's Todd in The Fox and the Hound and Arthur in The Sword and the Stone who are left to pursue their destinies without parents. Parents today are fighting against cultural currents that are reinforcing rebelliousness to children and teens. The La Paz's McDonald's recently had to limit the number of children allowed in the lobby because of uncontrolled middle school students, including a child that broke one of their tables. If you look at the gym, there's a sign that no one below 13 is to be there anymore without a medical note. You know, we have a problem in our community. It's not a new problem. I was pretty rebellious at times as a teenager. God calls on us to help and encourage we know that are raising kids. If you know someone in here with young children, please offer to help them. Think about the parents here in Lampasas who are struggling to clothe and feed their kids. There are also parents who are so busy working they don't have enough time for their spouses and their children. I know several people in Lampasas who work two or three jobs. Very hard to live like that. Very hard to train your kids in the way they should go. Childcare, clothes, food, and rent are only getting more expensive for needy families. There's also the elderly who barely are getting by on Social Security and have to choose between buying food and buying medicine. The Lord calls upon us to be merciful and to help those in need. Scripture calls for us to honor our parents. On the other hand, the commandment does not excuse abuse. Parents also have responsibilities to protect and care for their children. There's no tolerance for emotional, physical, or sexual abuse. It's important to honor parents, but the safety of the children is also crucial. No parent should expose their children to illegal drugs or other crimes. I've spoken to a CPS worker who said that there are times that she has to take children out of a house where they were making meth. And the meth got into everyone's possessions. And they literally had to throw away every single possession of that child, including that child's clothes. So anything we can do to help, you know, children that are in that kind of situation. Imagine a child losing every single item, every single possession. The Lord calls upon us to help those in need. Many of us have parents that have gone home with the Lord. Whether your parents are alive or not, this commandment supports a general principle that we should honor those in authority over us and to honor and love other church members and our family members. Please remember that love in the Bible is not primarily a feeling. It's that attitude. It's that action. Even if we don't have pleasant thoughts towards someone, we can still love and respect them. Why do you hold a grudge against someone that you need to forgive? Why do I hold a grudge? Who in your family do you need to forgive? Do you respect church and governmental authorities? How can you, in a practical way, honor the people that you know? How can you daily encourage people around you? So many people in our society might not have a single positive word spoken to them the entire day. They need hope. They need encouragement. Finally, I want to remind all of us that whether we had good or bad parents, the Heavenly Father still loves us. Jesus loves us. The Holy Spirit is within us. All Christians have a Heavenly Father who radically loves us. The parable of the prodigal son, when the profligate son, who'd gone out and wasted all of his money, and then he was eating besides the pigs, and he said, even the servants of my father have a better deal than this. So he goes home, and the father, instead of rebuking him, instead of casting him out, welcomed him with open arms. If a human father's going to do that, imagine what God the Father is doing for us. Amen. You're adopted, you're redeemed, you are chosen. You are in the family of God. This church building and the microphone are not the church. You are the church. The Lord knew you before he knit you together in your mother's womb. We're predestined by Christ to do good works. You are significant, You are meaningful, you are valuable, and God loves you immensely. God's love is deeper than the ocean. God's love is wider than the universe. When the sun has grown dark, when the earth is no longer inhabitable, when sentient machines have taken over the world, when Godzilla has broke loose, when the UFOs have come, when we see way too many black helicopters, you know, just one at a time, it's not too bad, but if we saw like a sky full of them, God is still there, and God the Father still loves us and will be with us for eternity. By the time the moon has disappeared, by the time the Milky Way and even the Milky Way candy bar has disappeared, the Lord of eternity, the Ancient of Days, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who is and was and evermore to come, Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, will radically love you. And all the Lord is asking is for us to love others as he has loved us. Please join me for the benediction. The embrace of the Father be the comfort you desire. The name of the Son be the one on whom you rely. The presence of the Spirit be with you every hour. The three in one be the focus of all you are. Amen.